Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey guys, how's it going? Professor Herp here from YouTube.
And Olivia.
From my house.
Yeah, from my house.
We're back, and I know we're a day late. We tried recording the other day, well, yesterday, because that's when it was supposed to come out. Or today it was supposed to come out. We tried recording the day before, and it just stopped recording on my desktop, so the whole thing just was not recorded. And we just kind of lost hope at that point, so we decided to just push it back a day. So that's why it's a little bit late this week, but we switched to Olivia's computer, which is a little bit newer and has less memory issues, because mine's a mess. So we should be good now, hopefully, unless Olivia's been downloading a lot of bad stuff on there.
All the Sims custom content.
Okay, sure. Anyway, we're going to be talking a little bit about reptile laws today. We're just going to focus on that right now, just as the main topic. We're not going to have two. It'll probably be about 30 minutes total, I'm guessing. We went super long last time, so I kind of wanted to do a shorter one. But basically, why this kind of came up as our topic for today is I saw a new law introduced in Michigan, which, again, is just kind of pretty strict on reptiles and care and stuff like that. So I'm a little fed up, but when I was talking to Olivia about what to do for this topic, she referred back to when the Tiger King came out, and we had a little bit of a disagreement on who can own what and the guidelines around that. So, funny enough, yesterday when we were recording, you know, she was all pumped up to go in, and then she realized she agreed with me. So, okay. You know, so much for an argument. I wish you guys really heard that version, because she basically argued my point for me, and then she started trying to slander me with different topics. So it was quite entertaining.
To be fair, when we first had the discussion,
maybe
I didn't understand your stance completely, but I felt very strong way, and I guess, like, maybe I just...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you got actually mad at me.
Sometimes in my feelings, I, like, lose sight of anything, and I will argue to the point where you just give up and say I'm right.
So basically, what the argument came around was, I said that I think anybody should have the opportunity to keep pretty much anything in terms of reptiles and exotic animals, but they obviously going through required training for the necessary, you know, reptiles, more advanced keeping and stuff like that. So basically what it came down to is that I think everybody out there should be able to own one of these animals, whatever you want to talk about it, a tiger, Komodo dragon, whatever. But again, they have to go through a necessary licensing process that will ensure that they can provide the best care, the proper care, they know what they're doing, they have precautions in place, all that good stuff. But I feel like if you can go through an extensive process and show all that and prove all that, I don't see why. I feel like we already own some of the most dangerous in quotes, because that's just how they are, reptiles and animals kind of out there already. We're already owning tigers and venomous snakes and such like that, so it can't get much worse. It's just now adding a licensing process on that, which I believe if, you know, the government actually cared about the hobby and not just about the government, a licensing permitting process would be ideal for those type of reptiles. But when it came down to it, I think her main argument point was against that I said everybody should be able to do it.
It should be, like, nearly impossible for you to own a tiger.
I think if you go through what you need to go through, anybody should be able to.
No, like I said, you should have, like, a degree of some sort. You know, you should have, like, a financial stability. You should have to have, like, there should be certain, like, zoning regulations where you, like, can't keep a tiger, like, within, like, you know, certain amount of square footage, feet of
a
school.
You're so mad about that you had to sniff twice?
Yeah, that's exactly why. So, I think that, like, yes, anybody could do it, but I want to say, like, 0.00000001% will actually finish it. That's
so,
how I feel.
basically what I equated it to yesterday was that of a PhD. Basically, you have a large majority of people getting their high school diploma, a lesser but still big majority getting their college degree, and then you have probably getting on the more minority side, I don't know the exact percentages, but getting their master's degree, and then a very small percentage getting their PhD. But everybody has the opportunity to go for their PhD if they put in the work. You know, if you put in what you need to do to get accepted to a PhD program, which everybody can, obviously, you know, some people, I'm not going to say some people won't be at a disadvantage because, you know, finances help, having a good financial background during your upbringing, stuff like that. There's more to it. But basically, there's nothing from the get-go saying no matter what you do, you can't get a PhD. And that's kind of how I feel about exotic animals and reptiles is from the get-go, it's plausible, it's possible. But as you go through the training steps, you need to show that you can financially support the animal, that you can care for the animal, that you can give them proper living conditions, a proper enclosure, cage, stuff like that. So that's what I was equating it to. You're just staring at me.
I just feel like institutions and, like, I don't know, organizations that have the knowledge and the funding should be the ones taking care of, like, these type of exotic animals that require, like, a lot more than just UVB in a little enclosure and some lighting.
What are you trying to say?
I'm just trying to say that
you... Don't call my enclosures little.
Like,
don't call them little.
Compared to a tiger cage, John? Mm-hmm. Compared to a tiger cage, your enclosures are like ants.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Tigers should have, like, an entire state.
Okay, so, but basically, I don't know. I don't see a difference. If you can keep them as well as a zoo, even better, because not all zoos are that great, what's the problem?
I'm not disagreeing mm-hmm. with you
well,
on that.
Well, see, you were just disagreeing,
just,
and then
I
you just
don't
flip-flopped
think
right there.
That, like, I don't think, like, send your frog should just be able to have a tiger. I just don't think so. Like I said, I agree with you. Like, there could be, like, a licensing
thing.
She's
hand-motioning a lot right now.
Why do you always comment on that? Let me hand-motion. This is how I argue. When I argue with you on other things, I hand-motion. It's how I bring out my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, this. You don't know? You guys can't see it, but I'm doing motions.
Yeah, she's putting her leg behind her head. It's weird.
Okay, I'm not doing that. I wish I could do that. But anyways, I just feel like it has to be extensive enough, like, where it would almost even be way more difficult than a PhD.
A PhD is so incredibly hard and extensive. I don't think it needs
okay,
to be that
okay, but you're, like,
difficult.
Taking care of, like, an endangered species.
Not, first of all, not all the time. Second of
I'm,
all...
I'm talking about in the instance of tigers. I feel very strongly about this because I want to save the tigers of the world because mm-hmm. I love them so much and they're, like, almost gone.
I don't think they require PhD-level knowledge unless you're researching and experimenting.
No, I think that tigers are so precious that only precious people can take
okay,
care of
see,
them.
See, now we're getting a little biased.
No.
Mm-hmm.
All animals are precious, but tigers just happen to be more
okay,
precious.
So, biased. And then we kind of turned the conversation towards, what, the venomous laws and
yes.
stuff like that.
Okay. Let me just... I have a problem with venomous reptiles because we have a son. That's my problem, okay? That's one of the reasons why I would never want you to own one. Like, I'm sorry, but you're gonna have to, like, MMA fight me, like, to the death.
I'll just
to,
pull
like,
a Dell
bring one
and
of those
then
in
drop
there.
It off at your job.
I promise you, you'll never see me again.
I'll probably get a Gila at some point, but...
When you die
the
and go
point,
to heaven.
The point is that I personally think, so, venomous laws, not all states have venomous laws. I could get it... Can I finish, Olivia, before you get all handsy in my face? In some states, first of all, like the state I'm currently in, you can get a Gila monster, I think pretty much most venomous reptiles... without anything. I could just go out and buy one. There's some states, like Pennsylvania, where you can get some species of, you know, what, crocodilians that...
Are they really called crocodilians?
What's wrong with crocodilians?
I don't know, because I call, like, Johnny's little teething thing crocodilioso, and, like, you made fun of that.
Anyway, so, not all states require them, but there are some states, usually some of the southern states, that require a permitting process. And I do think permitting for venomous reptiles is probably a smart idea in the purest form. I mean, they're not reptiles you should be messing around with and just, you know, picking up casually. But I do think a popular term is to log 1,000 hours of experience with someone who already has this permitting for that specific species. I think it might be family or state by state, I don't know, of reptile. And I think 1,000 hours is a little overkill. And the second problem is that because of legal reasons, unless you know someone, it's really hard to find someone to apprentice under because, you know, you're dealing with venomous reptiles that can get you hurt, and there's a lot of legal stuff behind that and problems. So it's very inaccessible, and that's what I mean when I say opportunity to own something or care for something is that everybody has an opportunity for it. You don't have to know someone or have an in with someone. There should be something to provide you with that so you can learn that stuff.
So I agree on the opportunity, but I don't agree on the 1,000 hours. I feel like if you're going to open up to everybody and have it accessible for everybody to get this permit, I think they should put in the long haul, especially if they're potentially dangerous, venomous, and because of those liability reasons, I think that's important.
I don't know. I think 1,000 hours is quite a long time.
I think that, like, unless you're a hermit and you live in the cabin in the woods and you just take care of these reptiles, there's never people around and you don't have to worry about anything like that, fine. Because if it gets loose and it's, like, in the middle of nowhere, fine.
Well, okay, first of all, Gila monsters are already loose in the United States. They come from here.
Okay, but they're, like, dying they're in left one and right. State...
No, they're in a few states in the Southwest.
Okay. No offense to the Southwest, right? But in a lot of the places where they exist, it's very hot. It's like 1,000,000 degrees. People don't usually go out and, like, go free roaming.
I mean, people go out.
They do, but, mm-hmm. like, not all, you know. Who's going out on 135 degrees?
So you're attacking the Southwest on mic right now.
No. I'm attacking
the sun. So you would hate the Southwest.
I'm attacking the sun.
Is what you're saying.
No. I mean, I personally wouldn't move there.
See, confirm.
I personally wouldn't move there. I have no problem with other people who live there. I'm sure Southwesterners are so nice and very kind people. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that, like, going outside, it's hot. You get sunburn. You can get... you don't want to be outside. Like, for instance, we went to Myrtle Beach, right? And that's, like, not even really that south. And that one summer we went to Myrtle Beach, everything was happy, great, and then you go outside, and it's, like... It's like the outside is suffocating.
That has nothing to do with the Southwest. That was kind of just like
a random story. No, it's like a heat thing. I'm saying Gila monsters live, like, in, like, extreme heat states. Like, extreme heat states.
Dry heat.
Yeah, dry.
Have you lived in the Southwest United States? Do you have personal experience? What's your high every day during the summer?
What are you talking about?
Exactly. She doesn't even know what weather is.
Okay. I'm just saying that I don't think 1,000 hours is that much to ask for. I think if this is, like, a venomous reptile, and you made the point where, like, if you live, let's say, in, like, the northeastern states, right, where Gila monsters aren't in the wild, right, and you get bit by one. I mean, not many people do, but if you get bit by one, there's not, like, an anti-venom thing there, you know, doctors and, like,
well,
the
they
ER
might have it. A lot of big hospitals will have it, but it's not a common thing.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, it's just, like, a worse situation for you than if you were to be in a place where, like, they deal with these kind of things. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, you're not really explaining it that clearly.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You're explaining it in a really Olivia way, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people listening don't speak Olivia.
Okay,
so.
Ready? If I think the 1,000 hours, like, could technically be overkill, but I think it's important, especially for reptile keepers who are experienced and they're just like, you know what, like, I'm so great at what I do. And this is, like, not even just a reptile thing. This is just, like, people who have experience with things kind of, like, take little shortcuts because they, like, think they know everything and they think everything's going to be okay, right? So, for instance, like...
But how can you take a shortcut?
I'm saying, like, if you, like, handle the Gila monster and you're supposed to handle it with, like, gloves all the time, you're supposed to do it this, and then they're just like, oh, I've had this Gila monster for, like, 5 years, whatever, like, he's my best friend, my buddy, you know, little Jeff right here, I'm just gonna grab him real quick, clean up this poop for Jeff, and then Jeff's like, I'm not feeling it. Then Jeff bites him in the hand, and then he's like, oh, no, I live in Maine. And then you go to, like, a Maine hospital, and they're like, oh, no. What's a Gila monster? Never heard of that. Then the guy's screaming. Then the doctor's screaming. You know. That's what. That's why you need those. That's why you need those. Go through this weird reenactment. I just think that it's important when you're dealing with a reptile that is potentially dangerous, venomous, and you're responsible for that reptile and for the other people around you that may interact with that reptile. And I think that 1,000 hours will kind of just, like, instill into your brain that this is, like, a serious thing. And I think that the law should be super strict, I think.
Okay, so there are already, like I said, is laws that require 1,000 hours, and there are still plenty of people that freehand Gila monsters.
No, well, okay, the other problem, I think, personally, is I think that I understand, like, the way the political system in our country works, where, like, states, like, have, like, their own laws and they do their own things that way.
So we passed fourth grade history.
But I think that that, like, a venomous kind of law should be kind of universal to all states. Like, I think that to own a venomous reptile, you should have a permit. And I think that in an instance where you could get a Gila monster here, but if we wanted to move somewhere else, like, you couldn't have the Gila monster, like, what were you supposed to do? And then what are we supposed to do? Just, like, sneak him over the border of Florida and, like, keep him in a cage and hope nobody will notice?
See, like, I feel like in the current political system, permitting's difficult for me to agree with, because it's usually never about the actual reason permitting is good. It's usually just a way to track people's animals and get money from them. And that's not why a permitting system is good. I mean, there are some good permitting systems, but they usually aren't. And I mean, like, it's hard, because at the same time, there definitely are people who should not be owning Gila monsters. But at the same time, I mean, state I'm in, Pennsylvania, has no laws against Gilas. And there's, like, a lot of big breeders of Gilas in there. You don't see, like, problems with Gilas biting a bunch of people and stuff. So, you know what I mean?
I know, but I also feel like the hobby, like, isn't that big. And, like, as it grows, I think that needs to be addressed.
I mean, I don't know how, I don't know what the growth rate of the hobby is, but, I mean, I think right there that shows how small percentage of the population actually want to keep these type of animals and reptiles. And I think that alone is, I mean, as much as I love reptiles, I don't recommend everybody to go out and get one, you know. And I do think it's for a select group of people who have this scientific kind of, I don't know, inquiry into these species and learning about them and stuff like that.
They're like an acquired taste.
And, well, no, but I feel like there's no measurable way to really see this, I guess, unless you just purely going through a licensing process and dealing with all that, but I think that for you to own an exotic animal, reptile, whatever, you obviously have to be very intrigued and passionate and curious about it. And everybody's not like that. So, like, if everybody got out and got one, there would be a lot of problems. But obviously, like I said, there's a select group of people who actually really are enthusiastic about learning about reptiles and exotic animals. And I would like to think most of those people, because of their passion, would give it the best, you know, the best environment, atmosphere, you know, dealing with the negatives, the positives in a good way. Does that make sense?
So, all right, I want to, like, just clearly admit that I'm, like, ignorant to, like, reptile keeping, because I'm not, like, a reptile keeper. So, I guess, like, my stance on, like, the 1,000 hours would be, like, a safety issue. But if there's, like, not a current problem with, like, that being a safety issue, then I can understand where you're coming from. Now, I still believe that there should be, like, laws in place. And would you agree, like, if they had a large group of people who are experienced and handle venomous reptiles that either have permits or have had, like, lots of experience handling reptiles come and make, like, a licensing overall law.
Okay. Well, I mean, I wouldn't really describe it exactly like that, but what you're describing, the government already has. I mean, how do you think, I can't remember the name of it, but, I can't remember the name of that really old law that is supposed to
control... Oh, is it the Lacey Act?
Yeah.
Why do I know that?
Is it that? Is that the one thing? Well, anyway.
No, I think
there is a branch of government that focuses on wildlife. Like, federal level. But, like, I don't know...
Well, what I'm trying to say is, if experts that have dealt with venomous reptiles and, like, have the knowledge to take care of venomous reptiles say that, like, the 1,000 hours is necessary, like, who are you to disagree with that?
Well, but at the same time, so, not to get too political, but no matter what side of the aisle you're on, those people that make those decisions are not always qualified. They are appointed those positions by people in office, and they're not exactly voted in, they're not exactly checked upon, so...
What I'm saying, like, is a hypothetical. Like, if like, the law was made based on people who have real experience and knowledge, and could you...
I think, just like anything, there should be checks and balances. I don't think there should be overall one authority, because everybody has ulterior motives. I mean, it's a lot better than having some appointed guy who doesn't know anything, but also, you know, they may sway bias somehow, and that shows in a lot of different avenues, so I do think there should be a check to elements like that from, I don't know, other keepers, the general public, to, if they think they're going down the wrong path, to be able to kind of rectify that path and even it out.
Okay. And so, one of the other things that I wanted to, like, ask you about, and this is, like, something we've talked about a lot, too, since we're talking about, like, reptile laws, is, like, the laws preventing you from owning reptiles in, like, certain states.
What
invasive species laws in general, like, your thoughts on...
They're stupid. I mean, the best thing you can do to stop invasive species is not let them get there in the first place. There's nothing you can do at this point besides spending probably billion of dollars to get rid of the invasive species problems reptile-wise in Florida. It's just not going to happen at this point. There's no way, like I said, unless you spend a ton of money, that you could outdo the rate they're breeding. Yeah. And they're already going up the, you know, southeast coast and stuff like that. They're too well established. They're not going anywhere. And enforcing these laws is too little too late. You know, I wouldn't even if it was prior to invasive species as a preventative measure, I wouldn't even like this law, but I think the fact that it's such after they've been established, these laws that are supposed to be for invasive species, it just has no place. So I think most of them are complete BS. They don't have any purpose. And I think if you really care about invasive species, you need to come up with a better way to track animals coming in and out of states, of the country, making sure there's no accidents, stuff like that.
Okay. But, like, do you see what you said there? Like, you just contradicted yourself in their previous argument. Because, like, you say that every reptile you should have access to. Mm-hmm. But if it's a potential to be an invasive species here in the United States, and they prevent imports of
that... I didn't say prevent it. I just say regulate it.
Okay. And then we
obviously,
also...
Obviously, you know, like, everything's a trade-off. You know what I mean? There's never an absolute situation. So, when I say opportunity, that means, like, it might mean that getting invasive species is a lot more difficult, and you have to go through a lot more extensive of a problem to show that you're not going to release it into the wild or something like that.
Okay.
But you can still get it, it's just going to be a lot harder because it's an invasive species and a species of concern.
Okay. Because, like, when we were discussing this yesterday, like, right now, you, like, a reptile keeper cannot own a Komodo dragon, right? And I'm not, like... I'm not sure, like, the conditions that they're kept in, but, like, let's say, like, you could own, like, a Komodo dragon. Like I said, I don't know anything about them. I don't know their breeding habits, but, like, what if that became, like, an invasive species problem in Florida? Like, they're dangerous, like, to meet them in the wild. Like, I agree the invasive species logs on tegus are kind of ridiculous because tegus, like, aren't as bad as, like all the alligators in Florida.
Well, I mean, so luckily most of the United States is in an uninhabitable zone for most reptiles. So, I mean, the most concerning is Florida, obviously, and that's usually where a lot of the laws show up. But, I mean, to me, the most concerning, obviously, I feel like any reptile keeper cares a lot about nature and preserving and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think anybody wants to see an ecosystem get destroyed by an invasive species, even if it's something they love, like a tegu.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I do think a lot of people, if it makes sense, and it scientifically, would support laws that might harm their keeping in order to preserve the environment or whatever. So, it's just this law doesn't do anything. It takes away rights while at the same time not solving a problem.
Tegus have already invaded.
Banning them is not going to stop anything. But that's kind of like, I'm all for it. You know, even if it comes to it where nobody has opportunity to own it anymore,
mm-hmm.
if it's that dire and it makes sense, like, I can't fight that. You know what I mean? It's more important to me that ecosystems are preserved and, you know, we have a, you know what I mean? We don't have invasive species coming everywhere. So, yeah, you know, there's drastic measures where some things might contradict my stance, but I think generally
mm-hmm.
that's, you know, everybody should have an opportunity.
And then you talked about, like, the government should do better at, like, tracking animals and doing so. But you also said that permits, like, are a way of, like, tracking animals, and that's something that you don't like.
Well, it's not tracking animals as much as people in my mind. I just feel like it takes a little bit of privacy away, because a lot of the time they can come by and drop by inspection without much notice, and it just, I don't know, like, I exactly wouldn't mind, but, like, let's say, like, you're having your kid's birthday party.
Yeah.
And they come drop by and want to inspect them or something. Some states, you know, they'll have like a, you know, they can do something like that maybe on a 24-hour notice or something. Like, I don't want to deal with that. It's my kid's birthday party. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, I feel like there's a little violation on your rights and privacy there, while at the same time you have to pay in order to keep some of these permits. So,
I can, like, understand that, but also, like, if you have venomous reptiles, like, why are you having a kid's birthday party in your house?
But, like, you have to understand that in some states you don't, but in the states with these regulations, like, owning a venomous reptile, you have to have behind a locked door, inside a room, inside another room, and you have to have it labeled and locked.
Do you believe, like, those are extreme, or do you think those are, like, proper measures? Like, do you think those are reasonable?
I think they're reasonable for the most part, especially if there's children. Mm-hmm. Children are not the smartest, you know, they don't always think things through because they're developing their brain. And the last thing in the world I want is some, you know, John to one day have a friend over, and then they think it's a good idea to go and mess with a reptile they shouldn't mess with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because not only legally, but I don't want anything to happen to any kid.
Yeah.
My own, someone else's.
So before we go anywhere with what you're saying, so you agree that, like, having a venomous reptile could potentially be harmful to our child?
Oh, it always is. But just like a car is. Just like how you could get struck by lightning in a thunderstorm. That's just life. That's part of life. It's just, it's not a high percentage, and it's probably negligible, the percentage, if you do it properly. So I do think properly, you know, especially if you have a kid, putting it in a room inside a room that's locked, enclosures locked, it's labeled venomous, you take all these precautions, I don't think you'll ever have a problem. And I do think they do have a place. And, you know, if it even saves just a few people from getting bit, and in extreme cases dying, then I think it's worth putting everybody through that. And I also think it says something for someone to go through all that to keep the reptile, if you go through all that, because a lot of people don't have that type of setup, you know, a room inside a room with a locked door, stuff like that. They usually have to make some modifications to get that set up.
Mm-hmm.
I think that just speaks to how serious they are. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if you're willing to do all that, it's not like you just went to Petco and picked up a bearded dragon.
Okay. So, do you feel that it's wrong, then, for states that have no laws against venomous reptiles and snakes?
In an ideal world or the real world?
In, like, an ideal world.
Ideal world, I definitely think there should be universal licensing and permitting, but we're not in an ideal world.
I know, unfortunately. It's like, so it's a funding issue most of the time.
It's a political moves for the most part when it comes to licensing and permitting and stuff like that. It's never really, while there are some occasionally good permitting regulations and laws and stuff that fit in with some of these, they're usually not that great. And I don't know. I think that it gives them a little bit too much control. And it's very much a theme in the reptile hobby that once a law passes, the government just starts taking more and more control.
Yeah.
And so as soon as the foundation is laid for them there, it just seems like it just gets worse and worse in terms of your rights. So that's where, you know, I can't agree to that, even though I think it would be overall smart if they did it right.
Now, I have, like, one last question before we, like, kind of wrap it up. So, like, I am what I would call, like, a civilian, right? Like, in the gaming world, like, we call people who, like, don't game hardcore, like, normies, right? So I'm, like, the normie of, like, the reptile world, right?
So we'll cut out this last portion because you're just making
but
everybody cringe.
Do you feel that, like, sometimes these laws kind of, like, demonize reptiles? Because, like, I know, like, what our tegu is like, and I, like, have interaction with tegus, so, like, I know about tegus. But they almost make it seem like tegus are going out and, like, stealing kids in the middle of the night and,
but
like, murdering them.
I mean,
in, like, Georgia. And then they're just, like, this terrifying dinosaur lizard.
That's not, like, permitting in the government. That's a lot of media hype and people trying to get clicks. A lot of clickbait stuff.
Yeah, but
so, it's I mean, that's not really, I don't really think laws and regulations do that. I mean, obviously, like, let's say reptiles are just not very well understood. A lot of people, for instance, know about tigers because a lot of people like tigers. They see them at zoos. They're like, look at these really big cats.
They're beautiful.
They're awesome.
They're perfect.
So
majestic.
So, you know, a lot of people like them, and that means they learn more about them. And, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of stupid people who would just hop in a cage with one, but you do know that you probably shouldn't hop in a cage with one.
Yes.
That doesn't make them scary, I feel like, if in the proper setting, you know what I mean? If you're looking through a cage that's protective, they're cool.
Yeah.
And I feel like if education's the key. So the more people can be educated about reptiles, see them, learn about them, realize that they're not these things that are just going to, like, run in your house and start...
Not Godzilla coming to destroy your town.
It's... The better it will be. So it's education against kind of fake media and stuff like that, clickbait stuff. So that's really what's kind of driving it. But
yeah, I just feel like that, like, fake media, like, directly correlates to people who, like, don't know about reptiles, like, automatically being like, yeah, we need to ban tegus in Florida. Like, they're dangerous. They're out here, like, taking poor little Jimmy from school.
That's poor education. I mean, they hear one thing and suddenly... But that's like anything, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anything you don't know about and you hear something bad about on the news or whatever, a lot of people just suddenly be like, okay, we gotta, you know, call our congressman, you know? Like,
yeah.
But that's just, and I'm sure everybody's does that at some point in their life with something they don't know about. But, again, that's why I said education is key. The more you can educate the general public about a topic, the less people will automatically be afraid of it.
Good stuff. Good stuff, John.
Mm-hmm. So basically, Gila monster come in 2021.
Oh my god.
And we'll start breeding them. We'll have 6 breeding pairs. We'll put them in John's bedroom.
I do not want a venomous reptile until John is, and any, you know, future children that we decide to, like, mistakenly have. like, move out of her house. Like, you can be, you can, when you retire, you can get your coveted Gila Monster, and you can make out with it and love it forever, but yeah, for I'll, right I'll now... I'll
probably be getting one in the next couple of years,
nice conversation.
Anyway, guys, I think we'll wrap it up here. We're trying to keep this one just short, and I need to make sure I get the last word on the Gila Monster, so... Thanks for listening, guys, and sorry about it being a day late. But I appreciate you guys tuning in. Like always, make sure to subscribe.
Follow.
That mm-hmm. sure. I guess that's what we're doing, and we still don't know.
Nope, we don't know. Press the button.
Yeah, press the button. Make sure to keep up to date on this. I hope you guys are enjoying the podcast thus far. We're eventually going to be having on guests and stuff like that, but I kind of want to establish just the basics here for a little bit and get that going and establish first and foremost. So that's what we're doing now. Again, make sure to check us out on social media or check me out on social media. I'm not going to tell you my handles because it's a mystery to me, but basically if you can find them, make sure you follow.
It's just Professor Herp. Just search it.
Yeah, sometimes it says YT at the end, sometimes it's an underscore.
Just look for the guy with the glasses and the bald head.
Okay, we're going to go right now. Anyway, thanks for listening, guys, and stay tuned for next week's.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.